Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
An elderly woman walked into the local country church. The friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit?" he asked politely. She said, "The front row." He said, "You really don't want to do that. Our pastor is really boring." She said, "Do you happen to know who I am?" He said, "I do not." To which she replied, "I'm the pastor's mother." He then asked, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No." He said, "Good." 2 Corinthians 10. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God." Somebody say, "through God." "To the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought." Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're going to continue our series on mind monsters. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "Get your mind right, and the rest will follow." You may be seated. Our first session, we talked about salvation and the day that we received Christ. That was an attitude of our heart. But that lordship is a mindset. We have done a lot of people a disservice universally as the church to get them quote-unquote saved but not disciple them. I thought I'd get a better amen there. And we are so quick to fill an altar and shout about somebody being converted, but then we don't teach enough lordship. And I'm glad that Jesus is my Savior. Please, I'm not making light of that, because without Jesus, there is no remission of sin. There's no way that I can repent. There's no way that when I was wrong, I could get right. And so I'm grateful that Jesus went to the cross, that he bled out for me, that his body was bruised and torn so that I might have redemption and have an everlasting life. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to live to be 100 years old. And so that Savior of saving me from a eternity and damnation and hell, that's great at the end of my life. But where God really wants to set up residence in your life is as Lord of all. That means for Jesus to be Lord of all, we've got to include him on every decision we make in our lives. Where we go to school, what education we pursue, what job and vocation we're opening ourselves to, our relationships, who we marry, who we go into business with, who we allow into our life. And so the first session we covered lordship, that lordship is a mindset, that every day we have to wake up with our mind stayed on Jesus. And we've got to wake up knowing that there's going to be an enemy attack that day that's going to try to shift our focus off of Jesus and onto things, or off of Jesus and onto people. And we've got to understand that when that attack comes, we've got to keep our mind strengthened so that our focus on Christ is not broken. The second session, we talk Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, "Be strong, be courageous, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed or disappointed." Those above four are all mindsets. Being strong is a strength of mind. Being courageous is knowing that even though it doesn't look right, David going into the valley to fight Goliath with 5 stones, and he is a man from his youth that has been trained and the greatest fighter to ever live. And as David rushes headlong into the valley to fight Goliath, he says, "I'm strong in mind and I'm courageous, and I know that this giant is going to fall today." And so let me encourage somebody sitting here today that the giant might be the biggest giant you've ever faced, but there's a Jesus on the inside of you that is greater than anything around you, and you can take down whatever is facing you if you keep your mind right. Last week we ended talking about the people of Israel. It took them 3 days to get ready physically in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Joshua. God would tell Joshua, "Tell them to get ready, for in 3 days they're crossing over." It took them 3 days to get ready physically, but it took them 40 years to get ready mentally. And that God will not take you to a place that you cannot, that you are not prepared for mentally, because if he takes you to a place that you're not prepared for mentally, you will either turn that new place into the old place, or you won't stay in the new place. You'll backslide and go right back to where God just delivered you from. And so we got to get our mind right. Possession is more a mindset than a physical capability. So now as we jump into the new material for this morning, I've got just a couple statements, a few statements that I would love to dive into. You have access to a new mind in Christ, which means that you have access to a new way of thinking. Have you ever been around somebody that is negative? Are you sitting next to, no, I'm just kidding, don't point them out. Optimism, pessimism, is the glass half empty? Is it half full? I'm not worried about the level in the glass because I serve a God that says I will run that cup over. See, that's faith. See, you can talk about optimism and you can talk about all the negative, but I choose to put my faith in the Word of God, and the Word of God says that I now have the mind of Christ. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we now have the mind of Christ." Do you understand that the day you got saved, you were regened? I know there's a lot of people who preach generational curses, but I'm here to tell you, when you accepted Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ was strong enough to break every curse in your family, to break every curse over your life. And one of the greatest curses is we don't think right. But the day that I said yes to Jesus, and the day that you said yes to Jesus, and you came all in to walking in faith for God, you now have access to think like Jesus. And Paul said to Corinth, you now have the mind of Christ. Why are you still acting like you used to act when you should have the new mind, which is going to cause you to say a different thing, to speak a different way, and to do a different thing. He goes on to say to the church of Philippi in chapter 2, verse 5 of Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ." I love this because Jesus Christ, in his 3.5 years of ministry, was not above trouble and tribulation, and people backstabbing, people walking in, people walking out, his own family disowning him, things that are not right going on around him. But you know what kept Jesus focused on the task at hand is the mind that I know what God sent me to do. I know what I was created to do, and so I'm going to do that thing. Can I encourage you? When all hell breaks loose in your life, let me remind you, you have the same mind that Jesus Christ had, which means trials and tribulations might show up, but they can't stay. Every believer has the access to think a new way, and when trouble comes, you ought to just announce to trouble, "You can't stay here. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not going to act like I used to act. I'm not going to flesh out. I'm not going to cuss somebody out. I'm going to stay focused with my mind stayed on Jesus." The day you received Christ, you gained access to his mind. Ephesians 6:17 says, "Take the helmet of salvation." You have to protect your mind. You are the gatekeeper for what comes into these ears and what comes in front of these eyes and what is deposited into your heart and into your mind. You cannot blame it on somebody else. You cannot blame it on a politician. You cannot blame it on an ex-spouse. You cannot blame it on bad theology that you received down the road at some other church, because at the end of the day, God has given you access to his throne room through Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, God has given you 66 books in a Bible with 500 translations, and now you can walk with every concordance known to man on this phone. Therefore, every time something rises up that is against the nature of Christ, I've got the opportunity that I'm going to give that place to the devil, or I'm going to keep that place filled with the Spirit of God so that my mind doesn't wander, and so that I protect my mind, my thoughts, and my future. God has not given us a spirit of power of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. If God has not given you the spirit of fear, why would you give it to yourself? There are certain movies that you should not watch. There are certain music that you should not listen to. There are certain people that you grew up with that should have stayed at your high school, and you should see them every 10 years at a reunion. There's a reason why so-and-so walked out of your life. Chances are they weren't good for you, or perhaps at that time you weren't good for them. And so you have to understand that everything that that happens in my life, if my mind is stayed on Christ, I can control and I can put the helmet of salvation on, which keeps every negative, every gossip, every divisive, every division, every bitterness, every prejudice, every racist moment, every racist thought. I bring those under subjection. The helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, it tells us, is the Word of God. It is a weapon that activates the Word of God in believers. This is where a lot of us miss it. We don't mind swinging the sword, but we're not wearing the helmet of salvation. It's what got Peter in trouble in Gethsemane, because he thought he was doing the right thing. And he's cutting people's ears off. And he wasn't aiming for the ear. He was just that bad. He was trying for the head but missed and got the ear. And there's a whole lot of believers that don't have their mind right. And because they don't have their mind right, they're closing their eyes, just swinging a sword. And we're doing more damage than good because we have not rightly divided the word of truth. And because we have not protected our mind. That's why Christians can make silly decisions and do crazy things. And you're saying, what would cause them to do that? What causes them to do that is swinging a sword without the helmet on. Swinging a sword and not having their mind right. Well, I'd like to give them a piece of my mind. No, you don't. The mind is a terrible thing to waste. If you keep giving everybody a piece of your mind, you're going to be left with nothing. That's why I got to put the helmet on, because Bishop Spears, I deal with some crazy people out in the world. I deal with some crazy family members, not none of the Fender 7, some other crazy, and I got to understand that if I don't allow my mind to stay right, I'm going to do more damage than good in the name of God, and think just because I'm quoting scripture, everything's all right. It's not all right. The devil knows more scripture than most believers, but he's not wearing the helmet. He doesn't think like Christ. He wants to be Christ. Listen. I don't want to be Christ. I want to be Christ-like, and I want to think like him, but I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to have to put up with everything that God is doing and all of the things that God. I want to be Christ-like, and I want to think like him. And so I put the helmet of salvation on, and I don't swing that sword unless I got my mind right. Because when my mind right, it's no longer a sword. It becomes a scalpel, and I can dissect, and I can cut, and I can do surgery, and I can remove things out of my children. I can remove things out of my life. I can remove things out of my marriage. I can do things that are beneficial with the sword when it becomes a scalpel, but I make sure that I have my helmet on. I was talking to a gentleman the other day, and I said, have you ever thought, he was talking about surgeries, I said, have you ever thought that your surgeon could be a C student? They might be the bottom of their class, which means that their mind is not as sharp as their peers. Yet they're still performing the same surgeries that their peers who are at the top of their class. Come on now, don't act like you have never thought it. Maybe you're quiet because you've never thought of that and you got a surgery scheduled. Let me just give you an encouragement. Don't be the last surgery of the day. Get up early and get to the hospital and be the first one when everybody's wide-eyed and bushy-tailed. But we got a lot of people who are swinging swords and are C students when it comes to the Word of God because their mind has not stayed on God. Man, I was listening to a young person preach the other day, and they were preaching and they were shouting. They were talking about all that God can do for the next week for them to be suicidal, have a gun in their mouth, and then the next week for them to be preaching Jesus and being able to preach all the things that God is going to do. And I thought, how can you go from preaching the blessing of God, suicidal the next week, preaching the blessing of God? That be not so. You're a double-minded person. You're unstable in all that you do. And before you lay hands on me, I need to make sure that your mind is right. Otherwise, you're going to lop off my ear when all I came in was for you to give me antibiotics for a cough. Woo. If my mind is unprotected, the Word of God will never be activated in my life, so that means the promises will never be received. Helmet on, sword
the word activated in my life, and I start seeing the promises of God established in my mind. If you're taking notes, here's another great statement. A renewed mind is a transformed life. A renewed mind is a transformed life. Romans 12, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Somebody say the perfect will of God. The transforming of your mind produces what is good and acceptable, but most importantly, it produces the will of God. Until you get rid of the mind monsters in your life, you can never establish the will of God. You can never live in the perfect will of God as long as you've got these nasty monsters taking up valuable real estate in your head. You have to understand that a renewed mind is a transformed mind. Now listen, the day I got saved, the day you received Christ, you became a new creation and your mind was renewed. But let me tell you something. What happened 10 years ago, 10 months ago, 10 days ago is not enough for today. I wake up every day renewing my mind for two reasons. I renew my mind every day so that the transformation that happened then is still maintained today. But I renew my mind every day so that new transformation can happen in my life. Mandy would be the first to tell you, we've been married 16 years. She'll be the first to tell you, I'm not the man that she married. And I'm not talking about the extra 75 pounds and the loss of hair. I'm not even talking about that. And that's what you were thinking. And shame on you. Get your mind right. But as Ronald Reagan said, would say, I'm a kinder and a gentler, believe it or not. You say you're a kinder and a gentler. Oh, yeah, you should have seen me back in 2006. I've slowed my roll. I've matured. I've grown. I'm more Christ-like than I've ever been before. Why is that? Because I've chosen to not stay status quo. I've chosen to not let my foot off of the gas. I'm not coasting. I'm not in neutral. Every day I'm saying, God, search my heart and my mind. If there's monsters in there that I'm unaware of, because sometimes the monsters are not under your bed. Sometimes they're not hidden in your closet. Sometimes they're not in your best friends. Sometimes they're in the far corners of your mind, and you didn't even realize that monster was there until, you know why you flesh out? Because there's a monster we didn't deal with. And because we beat the monster back, we thought he was gone. But there's some of us that have still left a little room for him to stay. But I'm here to tell you, every day of your life, you've got to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? You worship God in spirit and in truth every day. I don't care if this praise team leads you or a CD leads you or your MP3 or iPod leads you, but you worship God. Even if you don't have song, make your own melody unto the Lord. Praise God every day. Well, my life isn't going right. Listen, if you still got breath, you still got a future, and you ought to praise God. God, I'm thankful that I'm still alive. God, I might have fallen yesterday, but you've given me a fresh day, fresh mercy, grace that is sufficient. I'm going to get up. My mind is stayed on you. I'm a different man today than I was yesterday. I'm renewing my mind so that I can have my life transformed. Get your mind right, the rest will follow. The transforming of your mind produces the good and acceptable, but it most importantly produces the will of God. We must renew our minds every day. Here's another one. You decide what you think. I know it's 12:30. Give me just a couple more minutes. You decide what you think. Let me just help somebody. There's a button on your remote. It don't say on and off, but it's a little circle, a little line at the top. That's your power button. Don't let Fox tell you how to think. Don't let CNN tell you how to think. Don't let the local news tell you how to think. Don't let somebody who doesn't know you tell you how to think. Don't let antiquated thoughts from in-laws and outlaws and cousins and cousin Ray Ray and Aunt Lucille, Don't let them tell you what to think. Let me talk to those of you that are in college or going to college. Don't let some crusty old professor who is set in his ways talk you out of the promises of God, talk you out of your Acts 2:38 experience, talk you out of what happened in an altar, talk you out of what happened in your heart. You decide what you think. Don't tell me how to vote. Don't tell me how to pray. Don't tell me what I can believe for. Don't tell me what I can't do. Don't tell me what I should do. The word of God is the final say in my life. Don't tell me how to think. That's my job and God's job. Woo! I told you. First lesson I learned in marriage is when I told Mandy, well, don't feel that way. And she said, don't you tell me how to feel. You should take it as an offense when somebody tells you how you should think if it is contrary to the word of God. His promises are yes and amen. Chances are the person that's trying to manipulate you to think a certain way will not even be a part of your life this time next year. And you're going to make a marriage decision based on them. You're going to make a forever decision based on them. It ain't about them. It's about him. God, my mind is stayed on you. I looked to the left. I couldn't find no help. I looked to the right, and I couldn't find no help. And like Brother James used to say, I searched all over. Couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low. Still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Not them. Him. Don't tell me what to think. Don't tell me what to feel. I've got a direct line through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost tells me how to feel. The Holy Ghost says things like, shake off that spirit of heaviness and put on the garment of praise. The Holy Spirit says, I know you don't feel like it, but go ahead and run through the troop and leap over the wall. I'm working in your life. I'm working on your behalf. Praise team, come. Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2. We're going to finish this thought. Set your affection on things above. Seventh grade Brandon, Mr. Fender, get your head out of the clouds and come back down. Come back down to pre-chemistry, pre-calculus. Brandon, you're not paying attention. My mind was somewhere else that I had allowed it to go to. When you wake up tomorrow, set your affection. Have you ever lost something? I lost my keys this past week. You know where they were? Where I set them. Oh, we laugh. You know where your victory is? Where you set it. You know where your overcoming is? Where you set it. You know where your deliverance is? It's where you left it. It's where you set it. Nobody stole it from you. Quit giving the devil so much leeway and so much credit. He's a defeated foe. He ain't done nothing to me in my life. Most of my shortcomings have nothing to do with the adversary. It has everything to do with the fallen state of man. And because I set something where it should have never been set before, set your affection on things above. I don't have time to be racist because my affection is not on color. I don't have time to be misogynistic because it doesn't matter about gender. Come on, Beth Moore, if you want to preach, preach. And you got an open invitation to come right here to Living Way, and I'll give you a Sunday morning. Shame on John MacArthur, because I got a whole sermon brewing. The first person Jesus ever talked to outside of the tomb was a woman, and he didn't tell her to go home. He said, go to the world and preach. The only worship God remembered was not from Peter, James, and John. The only worship he remembered was from a Mary with an alabaster box that when she broke it and began to, begin to worship, Jesus said, forget everything else. I'm going to remember this worship. I don't have time to be prejudiced against anybody or anything. Because my affection is not set on offense or prejudice or bitterness or bigotry or anything else. My affection is set on things above. I know I've been talking about it a lot. Stand on your feet. You'll put pressure on me to quit. I know I preached about it. I've said a lot about it last week and this week on social media. Y'all pray for Kanye. Because the same people who said Kanye needs to get saved 2 years ago are the same people saying, I don't think Kanye's saved. Come on, give him the grace that we gave you when you got saved. Give him the grace that you gave me when I messed up. Let me tell you something. Kanye's not perfect. He's going to say stupid things. He's going to do stupid things. You know how I know that? Because I'm not perfect. I say stupid things. I do stupid things. We got to get past all this craziness. I'm not worried about what they say. I've set my affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Affection is mine. I set my mind higher. I don't have time to go lower. I don't have time to sling mud with the pigs when I'm on my way to where God has called me to be. I don't have time to stop and throw a stone at every dog that barks along the way. Why? Because my hand is set. My hand is set to the plow. My face is set like a flint towards Jerusalem. My mind is set. The monsters have no place to set up shop because I've set my affection where the monsters aren't. The monsters can't get to where I've set. You know, when I've had dangerous things around the house, maybe chemicals, maybe a razor blade, maybe a gun, and we had small children, I always put them in places that the kids did not have access to. I've just learned to set my mind where monsters don't have access, where the devil doesn't have access. I just set it right there. And I know where it's at. Can I talk to parents for a minute? I really am closing. Can I talk to parents? You're the best private investigator that there is. I encourage you to grab your children's phone right now. Don't give it back to them until you've gone through their DMs. So you've gone through every text message. I do it all the time. Tyler paid for his phone, and Tyler pays for his monthly service, but he still lives under my house. And you know what? I got a son that respects me enough. Even though he paid for the phone and paid for the service, I said, give me your phone. Yes, sir. And I go through it. All honesty, sometimes I found some things that I didn't like, and he didn't get the phone back that he's paying for every month. Dad, can I cancel the service? No, you can't. You're going to pay for something that you cannot use. I'm training him to get his mind set. Some of us, your mind's too low. I'm opening this altar right now. You're dealing with monsters. 3 weeks ago, a young man came with a girl that I grew up with. First time here. He heard Bishop preach. He said, next week I'm going to come hear you. I said, I'd love that. He came and I preached. He said, man, man, that was awesome. That's what I need to hear. He's been here every week since. He said, Pastor, I needed to hear that. You got mind monsters. Man, this is a friend I've known. Me and Adrian grew up together. Me and Ron known each other for many, many years. Here they stand today. Gentlemen, your lives are going to change when you set that mind in a place where the monsters don't have access, where the enemy doesn't have access. Alyssa, God bless you. This young lady, she keeps me laughing. She needs to have her own show. God's got a great plan for you, sweetie. Great plan. Don't listen to them. Listen to him. Set your mind. I know people probably say mean things to you. Maybe you've gotten a mean message, something somebody says at the playground, at school, at the cafeteria. What they say doesn't matter. God created you special. You're a gorgeous girl with a great plan for your life. Just keep your mind right. Those of you that are in this altar, you're about to be joined by another group of people.